Blog Talk Radio.
And with my switchboard. Okay, what's happening on my board here? Where is the... Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, good board. Okay, good, finally. We'll be right back.
Rock to death. Rock Talk Radio. Untrusted Charger. Now, open it up. The birthday song. Written by the iconic legendary Stevie Wonder Sue. The immortal Dr. King Jr. And we use that to say happy birthday. Not only Dr. King. And with that, pay homage to the one John Coltrane leads us in prayer. As we do, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, Lord, we thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. We ask that you give us not something what we want, what we need, and what we hope that what we need and what we want can come together. We thank you for the day in memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I have a dream. The quotation, forgiveness not a case, I've got a permanent state of mind. Bless our families. Bless our friends. More importantly, Lord, let us be what you have us to be. Bless our president. Thank you for this day, a day where America pay homage to minority African American. In the name of the Lord, Son Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. I would open up with Stevie Wonder. And, you know, Dusty, when you talk so much, there's so many underlining things. You know, it was the late, great Hal Jackson, who I've got to put in the credits to. I've got to re-edit this show. Hal Jackson was the one that did the whole movement toward the King Day movement. Of course, other people picked the torch up and went Stevie Wonder, the song.
Happy birthday
to you. And we use that at the time as we can be. Let's just go back. Well, tomorrow, my mother celebrates her 85th birthday on the 24th, you know, and bless you too, as you hear the birthday on number 24, which is Willie Mays' number, but if you flip it backwards on 42, Jackie Robinson is born on the last day of January.
I told you the greatest is in January.
I didn't want you to get to that part just yet, okay? But you know, Dusty, you hit a point that's so apropos when you look at the inundation of the people born this month, okay? And we do it from a personal standpoint of view, my beloved mother, the 21st. Okay, you're the 24th. My grandson,
queen,
the 25th. My daughter, third course, the second. The Patriots. And then you look at the athletes. You know, it's funny. Joe Frazier only lost to two guys in his whole career. He lost four fights to two guys twice. Now, here, Dusty. On the 10th of this month, it's George Foreman's birthday.
George Foreman's birthday. On the 12th of this month,
2 days later, who happened to beat Joe two times, Joe Frazier's birthday.
Joe Frazier's birthday.
On the 17th of this month, we celebrated Muhammad Ali's birthday.
Yeah, that's right.
The triangle here.
Wow.
Is, you know, Joe, Ali, and Frazier.
And Frazier.
The only two guys to beat Joe. Ali beat both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Joe lost to George, but beat Ali.
Ali lost
to Joe and beat George. Buddy McGirt on the 17th, got a chance to talk to him at his birthday. Bernard Hopkins' birthday is on the 50th, the actual day of Dr. King's birthday.
Yeah, I just saw a soundbite the other day. They cut him a cake up in Golden Boy. And the film clips, you know.
In fact, you know, ironically, as we talk about the 7th of this month is Kelly Swanson's birthday, who is the lady who the foremost first lady in boxing, and nobody has done more to salvage, propel, and push Bernard's career to where it was.
Kelly started out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, nobody. I mean, and, you know, you got to understand, you know, what Kelly probably went through being a female. And a good-looking female in this business. She started as a girl
this
Friday.
Man-dominated business.
Exactly. Man and boy. I mean, I did a little poem. I got to go back and get that poem, read that poem. Her birthday is the 7th. Marion Boykin, his lovely wife, Niecy. Marion B. Boykin, black bodacious, brilliant, and her brother, greatest boxing mind of this time, and the greatest boxing show ever on any network. His wife's birthday is the 1st, along with Mark Raspberry, the boxer, the sports editor at the iconic New York Beacon, which was the forerunner for the legendary, iconic Big Red News. On the 2nd, my daughter Turquoise. Also on the 1st, buddy of mine down in Philly Funch, Brian Funches. And then we look at Marla Barfield, Jesse Barfield's wife. Jesse Barfield, the only 1986
Mr. Barfield,
American League home run champion.
Yeah,
that's right. He was the batting champion, 86, a home run champion, and the only African-American to ever lead the league in home runs for a foreign team.
as
it was the Toronto Blue Jays.
Back-to-back
Golden Glove winner. I've got a couple in the Trust in God Sports and Dev Entertainment Artifacts Museum here. A couple of his actual used gloves and a couple of bats. Great human being. Him and his wife, just two of the finest people you ever want to meet. I've got to look at the name. Patty Dreyfus, who was on the sixth. She worked when Madison Garden was still the Garden. She became one of the first female boxing managers. Mm. She managed Joe Frazier. She was the manager of Joe Frazier when Joe did the Ali Frazier trilogy.
Wow.
Third fight, the villain in Manila. She was one of the few female boxing. She was one of the first. In fact, about a handful. Megan Gilmore. I gotta tell Ms. Gukas, happy birthday, Megan Gilmore, the female. A publicist, PR lady, head PR lady of the New York Jets. I mean, just a gorgeous young lady externally and internally. And we thank all of that Jet family, for what they do for us. And that's Cincinnati Sea Wings, Lady A, Pittsburgh E, and everybody here at Sports in Depth. And we're a little tardy, Megan. Very sorry for being so late and getting birthday wishes out to you. Look at the rest of the month, too. But those are the big names today, though. The 15th, Dr. King, like I said, boxers wise, man, you got a good contingency Hall of Famers, Roy Jones Jr., Buddy McGregor, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, and the guy who at one time, the gentleman, who was one time, and for the question, the first African-American boxing commissioner, none other than Jackie Robinson. Jackie was boxing commissioner at one time. I remember me and Joe Troy talked about that. One of the new managers injected into the inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and me and Joe talked about. I guess me and Joe one of the few guys. Well, you know, hey, there are some people, you know, who know a little bit about you. See, Dusty, we heard about this. We knew you were there. We heard about these things. We knew you were there. You know, but you know, Dusty, let's talk about
we Umbrella January and the rest of the year is left for the other folks.
You know what? I tell you what. You know, you look, I mean, in all jest, you look. I mean, Ali, Frazier, I mean, let's look at their resume. George Foreman's oldest man ever to win the heavyweight championship of the world. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad Ali, the first man to win it three times. Joe Frazier, who won the greatest fight in the history of boxing and was the first African-American, all right, to win the gold medal heavyweight championship, you know, in the majors, and you know the thing about, and you know, Harold told us about that whole thing. You know, Joe was a throw-in for Buster Mathis.
I was gonna say Buster Douglas, no, Buster Mathis, yeah, because
Mathis. Joe was a throw-in. You know, he was, hey, you know what? They didn't give Joe a title. You know, hey, we'll figure out something. Just come on with us. You know what I mean? Come on with us. And
come
we
on,
want
to
get
our wild card invite. Just come with us.
Hey, Dusty, and turn out to be the wildest card of all.
I'm telling you. He came back with the gold.
Dr. Stanley Sports and Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Garvey Network, remembering Dr. King and a host of other kings in this month. The king of our kind, Kelly Swanson. The king of kings in the all-time heavyweight division, Muhammad Ali. The biggest, one of the strongest men of the king, Big George Foreman. Joe Frazier, one of the greatest fighters of all time. Roy Jones Jr., one time considered the Sugar Ray Robinson of his era. Bernard Hopkins, oldest man ever to win a world championship. Long is reigning middleweight champion and most defenses in the history of the sport. Buddy McGirt, what a great little middleweight he was in his time and era. And the man who opened the gates to Major League Baseball, Jack Roosevelt Robinson, who was also the first African-American boxing commissioner, Jack Roosevelt Robinson. Dusty, we're talking about a host of things here. I have to go back and put some pictures and names in. And you know, we look at King Day, and it was Hal Jackson who started this whole thing. We heard the great Stevie Wonder open up. And, you know, it was a thing, Dusty, when you look back at you know, Reagan putting it in. He was definitely the forerunner of Obama coming into the scene, and it didn't look like at one time it was going to happen. And then even when we got the holiday, Dusty, there were states that opposed who wouldn't recognize King Day, Dusty.
No, well, they wouldn't recognize King Day because you have to have heard the phrase, "What's he done?"
Dusty,
he wasn't a president.
Dusty, could you say that? Could you say that one more time?
What's he done? He wasn't a president. He upset a lot. I mean, he did a lot of marches, but what's he done? And that came, that filtered down from the so-called decision makers and the naysayers and the questions. Are you for real? When the man went to war, and that's the word, went to war against our version of apartheid and our version of
tremendous
not being
point, Dusty. Tremendous
yes.
point. The injection go ahead, Dusty.
And our non being able to sit down and walk through and be invoked and
Dusty,
go to school.
I'm gonna tell you about this pick in my mind, and me and you agree we gotta stop it. Dusty, you know what, Dusty, now what you say here, the validation, the profound impact you said. He was the man, Dusty, who won the Nobel Peace Prize and could
exactly.
not vote in his country, Dusty.
Exactly. And what are we talking about then? What's he done to deserve it? I don't mean to insult the others, the Lincolns and the George Washingtons, but did they suffer as much as did they play bloody dues the way Martin Luther King played bloody dues? There was an article the other day how the anniversary of the day he was stabbed in Harlem, I think it was.
I'm thinking the same thing. I remember, and he talked about how the lady was standing there, and Al Sharpton mm-hmm. talked about it, and then bam, next thing you know,
boom,
she stuck a letter opener in his chest.
In his chest. And I'm saying, the Lincolns Lincoln was assassinated. But I'm saying, but as they were walking through their trajectories to do what they were supposed to do.
No question. Dusty, you know what? Real quickly, you know what I found out about Lincoln. Doc Stanley, Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard. Never, it's here. Dusty H. Ray Brown, ex Lois Jr. You know, Dusty. You know, Lincoln was killed on a Good Friday.
On Good Friday, I mean, it's an amazing thing. You know, of course, he lasted a certain amount of days and all, but still, the man was not going to recover. So you might as well say officially that day when he got blown away. Well, not shot. I mean, you know, it was over. But what I'm saying is that don't ask me what Martin Luther King did. When you're gonna put him on a pedestal and a well earned day of remembrance, like right now, he probably was at the gates greeting Mandela, you know, and then when what are we gonna do for Mandela, you know, are we gonna go national? Are we gonna go global? What are we gonna do? Because Mandela, what he did affected us over here in a positive way. He's a man who languished. I mean, you got to look at both sides of the picture. He languished 25 years for doing the same thing that Martin Luther King was doing here. Yeah, and he fought his portion of apartheid as well as Martin King fought his portion of. I mean his version of apartheid, but they were both doing the same thing. They're both doing the same thing, you know. And
you bring up a very heavy point here. And this is what I say, ladies and gentlemen, about Sports in Depth, where we give you an in-depth perspective, not only on the sports that we talk about, but the athletes that play. But this panel, the crew that I bring to you, and Dusty at the forefront of it. And you know, Sports in Depth turns out to not only be Sports in Depth, but the world in depth. You do not hear the kind of in-depth insight from a sports perspective or a historical perspective that you hear on Sports in Depth. Has anybody ever thought about the correlation between King and Mandela and how Mandela, as many times as King was put in jail, no question he didn't stay in the duration of longevity that Mandela did, and you're talking about, and you know, here's a funny thing too, Dusty. Mandela, we see, was able to ascend to the highest office in the country, and Obama through the footwork of King, though. But King at that time, you know, instead of being raised up, was killed.
Exactly. You know, killed because we had the same knotheads or peanut brains here that we had on, you know, that we had in South Africa, man. And it's an unfortunate thing that this had to happen with the man, and then he could have continued his legacy. Who knows how far he would have gone? But the fact is, where they made the mistake is that his crusade did not die. His crusade continued.
No, you know, it
gave him more strength.
It reminds me. So Dr. Stanley, supposed to Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. It's me, India Zusty. Reminding me so much of the days back at SLR Radio, the heartbeat of Africa and the heartbeat of New York City, Africa's number one radio station, the world, city, state, nation, and we're remembering Dr. King, Bernard King, wow. And me and Dusty, you know, are talking about so many things here. And you know, the King, you know, and his legacy, you know, it's so much, it reminds me so much as I'm thinking, you know, when, you know, three or four of my heroes, you know, Emiliano Zapata, and you look at the movement of Zapata, as people who followed him became, of course, Zapatistas, and killing him, you know, the movement moved on. I mean, it's like, dang, we made a mistake,
stronger.
You know what I mean? There's a great line that Dr. King says, and I have, you know, like anybody else I'd like to live, but living doesn't, it doesn't matter to me anymore. You know what I mean? I've been to the mountaintop. I may not get there with you, but we, as a people, will see the promised land. And Dr. King said, you know, it's not the longevity in one's life; it's the quality of one's life. You know, it's not the longevity; it's the quality in one's life. And he said something else too. He said, you know, until a man has found something to die for, life isn't worth living. Powerful words from a provider. I got a chance to talk to the Honorable Charles Ringel during the Bill Thompson campaign and sat there and talked with Danny Skiles for his Cinco program and the Latin side of Boricua Boxing. And I talked to Mr. Ringel. I said, you know, Mr. Ringel, we're going to bring you here and want to thank you for joining us and knowing that you are so part of that mindset of life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for this? And that was a slogan of King's I saw. Working with the iconic, the greatest disco singer of all time, the only disco singer ever to win a Grammy, the iconic, the lovely, the incomparable Gloria Gaynor, and sent there on assignment, as P.J. Albert would say, by her iconic managed husband, Linwood Maxwell Simon. And Mr. Simon sent me down to cover a event with Miss Gaynor down in Atlanta. As the good Lord has blessed me as so immensely he has, so I was in Atlanta on King Day with Miss Gloria Gaynor, and they kept showing different quotations of his. And that was the one, you know, life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And I told Mr. Ringel that, you know, he seemed to fit that model. He said, no. He said, hey. He said, you know, Doc, no. He said, you know, I thank you for the comparison. I thank you for the comedy. He said, but Martin had, he said, nobody had a serious zeal and commitment to his fellow man. Dr. King, that was part of his motto. The great line from Ali, death is so near and time is so short to friendly acts of persuasion. And you talked about how, you know, the slaying of the kings, the slaying of the Emiliano Zapatas was only the slaying of the man. It wasn't slaying of the movement and the programs that were set forth.
Well, it gave the movement more life. I mean, you know, in depth of the person who initiated gave the movement more life and strength. And that's where the assassin made a mistake. And this is what people... People don't seem to understand that, and they gave it more life.
You know, what I want to do, too, as we move into this, because what happens here is, a lot of people kind of, when you talk about people who have king-like attributes, king-like mindsets, and we're going to get to a man that you know, a man that you knew, and a man that had a lot of king-like attributes and was a friend and devout king disciple. None other than Roberto Clemente Walker. We'll get to him in a minute, but right now, Doc Stanley, Sportsnet Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Network. Now we're trying to catch up with Eddie Cotton. Maybe he can join us. just saying that yesterday, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks advance to MetLife Stadium here on February 2nd. And it's the second time in the history of the Super Bowl that the two number one seeds have met in the Super Bowl. Now, what happens here is the number one offensive team in pro football will be playing the number one defensive team in pro football. The man who broke all the profound scoring records by a quarterback this year, most yards thrown, most touchdowns, will be playing against a stellar defense. Peyton Manning, who was written off. Peyton Manning, who said, what is he doing? Peyton Manning, who had to be hurt that even remotely that the Colts would not even take him back. And good news all around. Peyton is in the Super Bowl, and Joe Caldwell, that great coach who came out behind Tony Dungy, the first African coach to ever win a Super Bowl, he got a job with Detroit Lions. It is Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning, the Denver Broncos, the Super Bowl here at MetLife Stadium, and two compelling stories. Manning, who some thought would maybe never play football again, back to the top of the heap. Russell Wilson, a prototype of the new type of quarterback, him and Kaepernick.
Russell Wilson, a two-year upstart who had no business in the Super Bowl. And here he comes.
Did you tell him he had no business here? Did you break that to him that he had no business in the game?
I told him.
Did you tell him, Dusty?
I told him,
Dusty,
you tell...
Hey, Dusty.
Look, you don't belong here. You still got your Pampers on, man. What's wrong with you, man?
It's too late now.
And here he is, upstart in the big show, you know, globally heard and seen around the world, fighting against, and I'll use boxing terms, fighting against a veteran king who bound from one team and washed away and picked up another team that was struggling for years and made it to a championship team. And with all this posse around them, and now they're going to face each other, the veteran and the child, you know.
And you know
so,
what? The thing here too is, you know, 16-1 in Seattle. I like the young man; he seems to be grounded. But he also has a profound understanding of ways that through the grace and the mercy of the good Lord. You know, you look at that play by Sherman yesterday, and
yeah,
it's just an excellent play. Kaepernick was just people talk about, you know, he doesn't throw the ball. He gets the ball in the end zone.
The man's a track star.
Look at that picture.
Kaepernick is a track star. That's what it is.
You look at that pass, and Sherman, I mean, Kaepernick, it was tremendous. And this is one time they can talk about athletic ability on everybody's part. Kaepernick, where he was throwing the ball, Crabtree, who was going to catch the ball, and then you look at Sherman. You know, making the play that was so pivotal, and
exactly.
and then you know, because he had to go up as high as the ball thrown and to make the
basketball
play that was so instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
basketball jump,
play.
High jump, and
tremendous play.
Kaepernick is a Reynaldo Nehemiah as a quarterback. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what he does, is run. He outruns you, he out-tracks you, and then when he's finished, well, this is as far as I'm going to go, now I'm going to use my gun. And he fires that spiral to the receiver he's looking for. But it's an unfortunate thing that, not unfortunate, but somebody had to lose, but the man is another tremendous quarterback in the near future of the NFL. It just so happens that a young upstart, what is it? First of all, you're a freshman in college, and you're a sophomore, gets the better hand, and this will happen yesterday. But now, like I said, we got the veteran who was washed up because of the three surgeries. And the young upstart who did not belong in the freaking big show is there. So this is what makes it intriguing, fascinating, electric.
And that, Dusty, the fact that you look at it, with all this mixture you're talking about, we have the number one offensive and defensive team against the number one offensive force. And for the first time and only the second time in the history of this game, you've got both number one seeds. Both teams who were number one, both teams who were supposed to be there, are there. Seattle,
right, exactly. and out of the old
NFL slugging, and the Denver Broncos coming out the old AFL slugs. You see the Patriots being the team to go up against them. No AFL all-star, Belichick. And I think not enough has been said. About both Belichick and Brady. I mean, they constantly, every week they were making readjustments. They lost Hernandez before the season started. They got the help to the big guy came back, and then he got knocked out. And then Belichick found a running game.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brady is out without question, equivalently one of the great quarterbacks in this game. And I think he stopped griping about not having Welker and Moss.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the elite receivers
around.
Yeah, but he bit himself out of football because they got rid of Welker. And Welker came back to bite them yesterday. Came back to bite them. He got rid of me, so look, I'm still viable. And Welker made some catches last night oh, my God, we got rid of the wrong guy. But what I'm saying to you is that, we got rid of him. And then you got all the other big players. Oh, no Sean Moreno, who has a youth life, like Victor Cruz. They're both Jersey guys. And the young life was circumstance and lucky to be at the soup when the young life, the blueprint for their life was not to be where they are today. And the man is a runaway steamroll, man. And unfortunately, he got a little injured yesterday. So he got this 2 weeks to rest up and recover. And then you got a lot of bits and pieces that the Broncos put together that made it the format that they were yesterday. You know, so who's going to win? To me, is like a pick and fight, man. I mean, two dogs, a young dog and an old dog, and whoever growls the loudest is the one that's going to win. You know, so we'll see what the heck happens. You know, because I think I saw the writing on the wall when yesterday Brady and Manning they started little by little and the defense and three up three down. I said, oh, this is not a Brady vintage. By the time the second quarter comes around, Brady's already scored about three touchdowns, man.
Hey, Dusty, calm down. Calm down, Dusty. Calm down with already three. Calm down, Dusty.
Calm down. You know darn well that I'm talking that what I'm telling you.
Dusty, two touchdowns and a field goal. Calm down.
and this is basically what I'm saying. Oh, you know, so now the thing.
You know what's funny? I'm in Doc Felly Sports Net Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. I'm here with You know, the reality of the situation, you've been my co-host for the longest time. Dusty, H. Red Brown, Jr., Lois, Jr. You know, Dusty, you know, the thing that you know, we're looking at the game, we were talking earlier, too, about what a tremendous job that Belichick has done, and you talked about Brady in the point. And I was at getting a manicure today, and lady asked me who do you like in the Super Bowl, and I said, you know what, it's and I mentioned all the things. First time in a long time you've had the best number one offense against the best defense. Only the second time in history of this game you've had the both seeds make it. And I said, you know, if I had to bet money, I'll go with Denver because, you know, in any venue, Dusty, you're always paying the guys that can score. If I can't hold you down and can't score, it doesn't work. I said, and my feeling is this, that Denver is a lot better defensively than they're giving credit for, and Seattle is not as good offensively as they're giving credit for. You know, you look at those last two drives, yes, Dusty, and even that last drive. You know, if you got a touchdown, the football game, you can't get down in that red zone, Dusty, and come away with field goals.
Well, exactly. But you see, this is where you got to understand that no matter how good you are, no matter how offensively good you are, you got to deal with the upgrade and the alertness and the magnitude of the defense. And if you are dealing with a defense, you got to feel yourself fortunate to walk away with at least three instead of
seven.
Wow,
Dusty, I hang up the phone. I'm getting tired of you with just all these.
I'm telling you.
Hey, listen, hang it up. I'm tired of you with all these cerebral quotes. Okay, let it go. Dusty, you know what? Your tremendous point. A tremendous point there, because my theory is it's a psychological victory for the defense, but the fact that you come, you got a point that at least with the three, you come away unscathed.
See, last week, Cam Newton and the Panthers, it was 4-2 or something, 4-2 in the goal, 4-1, 4-1 at the goal. Man, kick the three. No, boom, they got stopped, they got nothing.
Well, now I'm glad you brought that up, because I thought two things there. And I'm saying, Dr. Eddie Sports, the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network, we are remembering the work, the life, the memory, the time of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm here with my co-host, Dusty, Daniel Baby Lowe's, a.k.a. Rack Brown Jr. So my thing, Dusty, I've said this for the longest time, is that the right ball at the right time to change a football game. And I thought Newton on that second drive, Carolina was lucky. They went fourth and goal, didn't make it, but they held Frisco and they came back and scored a touchdown. My thinking, though, was I thought Newton had, it's amazing how you can do anything if you could stick your nose out, you can fought and you pass the plane. And I thought somewhere along the line he passed the plane on that fourth and goal. But the point I'm making, I understand. I'm just wondering if it's that Brady. I'm wondering if that's Kaepernick. I'm wondering if it's Peyton. I wonder if it's Locke, if that's not a touchdown. But the point that I'm making before that.
Then you're dealing with nickels and dimes. I wouldn't even go in that direction. The man just didn't make it.
What I'm saying to you is the sure thing. During that drive, though, Dusty, they called two penalties.
Yeah.
Against Carolina, that one penalty that kept the drive alive. They called a pass interference, which wasn't a pass interference, and they called a personal foul. That wasn't a personal foul. Frisco goes down the field and winds up with a field goal. That's 3 points that they shouldn't have had. If you come back the other way, when the game is 10-6, it's a 10-3 football game instead of it. And then they don't call the 12 men in the huddle, which is the 5-yard penalty. Okay, that pushes them back five yards. And they don't call the personal foul penalty that they called against Carolina for bumping helmets. That's 20 yards. So now they go for the field goal. So maybe it's 10-3, maybe it's 10-6. But you've turned the football game all around, Dusty.
Yeah, but you saw last night when there was a holding call. I forgot what the play was, and the ref didn't call it against Brady, and there was a holding call, a pass interference on the defense, and the man's livid. The guy is going crazy out of his mind, and they don't call it. And then San Francisco had another call that was called against them, which was not a holding. And the Bronco game.
I'm not talking about yesterday, Dusty.
Look, Doc, my mind is straight. I mean, is correct. I know
you're
what
right.
You're saying. But what I'm trying to tell you.
I agree with you. I saw some calls yesterday that against Frisco that I'm saying, wow. And, Dusty, what are we saying here, Dusty? Are we saying, in that case, it's not to. Are we saying that there's calls for favorite teams and there's calls?
No, it's just. No, wrong judgment calls that they throw, that they throw in based on their perception. That's the judge on that side, and he thought he saw something. Meantime, the judge on the other side didn't see it, and he should have seen it as opposed to what this guy thought he saw.
I'm always befuddled by about 10 guys on the field, and they don't see everything.
Because there are different angles. There are different angles, man.
You got the guy upstairs. You got the book. It was amazing. Mindy Rudolph seemed to do a better job by himself during the Boston Celtics Philadelphia game or whatever game, then you got four referees now.
Yeah,
you got
well,
four guys
yeah,
on the floor. And it seemed like Mindy Rudolph, the late great Mindy Rudolph, and what's the other guy, Earl Strom, is one of the guys. What a tremendous bunch of those guys. I'm so blessed to bump shoulders and meet those guys on the floor. It just sad and touching. Dusty, let's get back to the man that we're talking about, and the man who was called the great one, not because he's the greatest right fielder ever played, not because he's the greatest Hispanic baseball player ever played, not because he's the greatest Puerto Rican baseball player ever, but because he was a great one because Roberto Clemente was the leader of the civil rights movement in Pittsburgh and a devout disciple of
yeah,
King and a friend.
Right, you know, he took the banner of leadership and you know, and he held on to it and made the moves, the progressive moves. I mean, it takes one person to say, no mas. It takes one person to say, hey, we're going to try to change this no matter what the sacrifice is, no matter what the reaction is, no matter what the payback is, we're going to try to move this forward and make those changes, you know. And that's basically what every one of these pioneers did, man, at their own sacrifice, you know. What would have happened? Ask yourself a very in-depth question. What would have happened if Mandela had been killed like Stephen Biko in prison? What would have happened to that movement? We will never know, thank God. We will never know because the man survived, and he survived because the man was an athlete. He was a heavyweight amateur fighter, and he exercised and shadow boxed and kept his body strong, locked
who
up
was,
in that little...
Dusty, here you go. Here you go, Dusty, for a free can of Afro Sheen that you can't use anymore, but who was Mandela's sports hero and number one hero?
Oh, God.
He said,
I don't remember.
He was a fighter. You saw him. Quit acting like you don't know. We know you're 102, so don't know.
You're racking my memory because I know he said it in an interview that I heard, and he
Dusty,
says, Mike.
I'm going to call Ashley later because you quit acting like you don't know. You was there. Anybody that sat ringside at Dave and Goliath and then caught the single main event of Cain and Abel, you know the answer. So cut it out, Dusty.
I know the answer. Yeah, and
Attack Radio on the Trust of God Radio. We're remembering Dr. King. And let's talk more. I mean, Brian Hunter, the tremendous collaborator, film director, producer, talked so much. And he was the one who taught us right here on Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Network that, you know, the great one was a title given to the great Roberto Clemente Walker, because he was the one that I remember Clemente couldn't understand. I remember the gentleman term, couldn't understand the attitude, the disdain, the dismay, the infliction of all the inhumane sort of things given to black people because they were black. Clemente couldn't understand it because they were black. I mean, it just shows you the mindset outside. Clemente couldn't understand just because they were black that they couldn't. You know, you met the man. You met the man. He's so much into that same thing. Life's most persistent question, what are you doing for others? So much into the vein that it's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality of life, you know. Greater love have no man than this. They give out his life. And you talk some more about that, how, you know, the guys didn't want to give him a fire hat, you know.
There's a parallel to the same thing that I just said 55 million years ago on your show. He said, well, what did he do? Martin Luther King, his holiday. What did he do? These guys, people are mentally, racially blind by design. And you're painted a different shade, and you're not entitled to any recognition, any accolade that everybody else has taken for granted that does not have a permanent suntan. That's basically what it is. Understand? And you have to understand that. So the fact of the matter is that, hey, who's, are you kidding? 300, the World Series, this, that, and the other. And forget the Athletics. The Nicaraguan people and the food drive and humanities, the Roberto Clemente Baseball League here that I work with him and all the things that he's done as well, along with the fire department, and all of a sudden, well, what did he do to get this? Yet Joe Blow, because he made a $100,000 donation for some little relief fund. Boom, big ceremony, Copacabana, a big fire chief hat. Nobody says anything against that. You see the point? But here's a man who donated time, this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden, who's he? So, you know, this is why, you know, everything that you read about and you see and the negatives, you know, you just got to try to wash it down the street, into the next toilet, into the next garbage can, because of the fact of the matter is that you know that it is a negativism because you're not the right shade, man. And that's basically simple. You see what I'm
saying? You know, the great line of the man whose birthday is on the 17th of this month, you know, you're not the complexion of the connection. Muhammad Ali, you know, the complexion of the connection. And
yeah.
And it's just something.
Right.
Really something.
Yeah, that's basically the whole situation. But you know, there's always now. You know, you cannot go any higher than the presidency of the United States. There's just it's the man cannot run, does not belong there. He should not even dare run for that because that spot does not belong to him. Jack Johnson should never wear the heavyweight crown because that crown does not belong to him. It belongs to us. He had to go to England. Was it England or France to fight this dude to get a shot at the crown? And then what happens? Those folks who were negatives, Tommy Burns, they wanted to hang him for even giving Johnson a shot, and they want to hang him a second time because he lost to him. Because that crown does not belong on a Jack Johnson's head. You know, and here, you talk about Dempsey, never fought Harry Wills. What happens? We compensate Harry Wills by calling him the uncrowned heavyweight champ. I mean, what kind of a joke is that? That's the biggest joke. That's the biggest joke that any comedian could have said on stage. The uncrowned heavyweight champ. And that's ridiculous. So the fact of the matter is that it's always that problem. Who's he? What did he do? They question what you're doing.
No, it's Dr. Stanley Sports and the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Government Network. Sports and remembers the King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Went to Morehead College at 15 years old. That's where he got his first degree, PhD, in seminary school, and then got his PhD from Boston College. I'm going to talk some more about that. Dusty's talking with us. It's the same old story. What did he do? It's the questions that are already asked. Well, you know, what did he marry to get here? How did he get here? The great line by Arthur Ashe: "You have to be twice as good to get half a chance." And you look back at our resumes, they're always are tight, exclusive, beyond what is necessary, needed. Yet, keep hearing these questions: what did he do? How did he get here? And we also want to take this time to ask all our listeners out there to pray for Margaret Chambers, the wife of the Yankee great and the greatest basketball player who's ever had, Chris Chambers. Audrey is having some problems, and she had to be hospitalized. Some situations, they're just not taking any chances. Pressure's a little too high. So we just ask all you out there, when you get on your knees and remembering and asking the good Lord to help and put his hand on somebody. Make sure that you ask for Lady A. And Chris Chandler's hit the biggest home run in the history of the Yankees this generation. The man to put him back into the World Series. I'm still stunned. I mean, I can't say, excuse me, Dusty, I can't say why they could be asking, well, what has he done lately when he was a batting champion of the world champion Yankees and still got fired. Dr. King is what we're talking about, and we're going to do some Did You Know, and we thank the mighty Quinn. But did you know that in 1939, Dr. King sang with the choir at his father's church, Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, for the gala premiere. Check this out, Dusty, Gone with the Wind. For Gone with the Wind. But African Americans were not permitted to attend the actual screening of the film due to segregation. The band included, are you ready for this, Dusty? The band included actress Hattie McDaniel, who won
Academy
a Best Supporting
Actress
Oscar for actress. Okay, the first to do it. She was banned along with Butterfly McQueen, despite their contributions to the film as major characters. Banned!
Come on, that's par for the course when you have the Copacabana starring Sammy Davis Jr., the Copacabana starring Lena Horne. But they had to have their lunch in the dressing room. They couldn't mingle with the crowd.
Eddie Kendricks, I think the greatest tenor of all, talks about, we're talking the 60s back on the road, man. Eddie said, in their place, they couldn't go in, so they just got the valet to go to the place, buy some food and stuff, and serve it on the bus. A place they couldn't go. What's that great line from the Cotton Club? Everybody performing in the club had to go through the back door. They couldn't do come through the front. Dr. King, listen to some more. As of 2013, there are 900 streets named after Dr. Martin Luther King in the United States. King's favorite meal was a combination of plate of fried chicken, black-eyed peas, collard greens, and cornbread. Hey, he ain't by himself. Dusty, he ain't by himself.
He got me drooling here, man.
He ain't by himself. Yeah. Now, I knew that Dr. King's name originally was Malcolm, and it was changed. Now, how that came about was due to the fact that when King was 5 years old, his parents discovered that his name was recorded wrong on his birth certificate. Check it out. And they had to go to court to change it.
Yeah.
They had to go to court to change it, to have his name changed. And he told the story, reading about one day a trooper stopped him and his dad and pulled him over, and his dad showed his license and stuff. And the trooper said, let me see your license and registration, boy, or something to that effect. Mr. King looked at the trooper and looked at his son. He said, see, that's my son over there. He says, that's a boy. I'm a man. And King talked about remembering that memory, the pride he had in his dad, and the realization of the chance he was taking to speak to not only a police officer, not only a white police officer, but a white police officer in the South. And he knew that. And he said so much about the internal fortitude of his dad. And you can understand where, and we have in our tag with Dr. Martin Luther King Sr., where he got that get up and go, people don't understand, too, him and Mrs. King. And this is what it was said was the turning point in King's career when he went beyond the civil rights movement, when he kind of lost his place, when he kind of got big-headed, when he kind of forgot where he came, when he kind of got wanting to do things that, a Negro, a black person, a colored boy, a nigger wasn't supposed to do. He's getting a little too big for his place. Doesn't he know his place? And, and you look, and I read this the other day, and that's why you should always get a hold of the, I got you one too, Dusty, of these African Americans each year. Mrs. King, her movement, they stood up for the rights, of all ethnicities, even the fact of we talk about, the gay rights movements. Everybody stands, should have a fair chance, so they had to know. They were in there for the gay rights movement too. They were in there for, people should be treated accordingly. Because you're a little different, seen in the eyes, sights of those who make it, doesn't mean you're different and doesn't mean that they're better. And, King was a man for all the people. Then it's just we dedicate this show to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his birthday, January 15th. I remember the day, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, we're going to come back in a minute, Dusty, and we're going to talk about where you were and what you remember on the day that Dr. King was assassinated. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We'll be right back at Sports and Depth. Remembers the King, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Stealing. Sports and Depth, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. You know it by now. Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, they're into the Super Bowl. Again, they're going to be playing it. Peyton's place is usually known as Eli's place here in New York City, February 2nd at MetLife Stadium. The Denver Broncos against the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson and crew will be here next to big time on King Day, which is sort of a normal thing that the Knicks will be playing on that day. Lost to the Brooklyn Nets, who are kind of hitting that stride. Both teams really doing a whole lot better, even though, you know, media doesn't kind of let you. Rangers on a roll, rocking and rolling. Roger Bear, love you, baby. And the Rangers are playing some really good hockey here as lately. A couple of things that happened in the world of baseball. Alex Rodriguez, 162 games and no postseason. That's a story we'll talk about down the line. But today, we are remembering the birthday and also we want to talk so much about the song that we're playing, Stevie Wonder, came out with Hal Jackson, the late great Hal Jackson, Jackie Robinson of African American Radio. He was the first in everything. Hal Jackson was driven home one day by Babe Ruth on a continuous basis. He was going to be the first African American play-by-play man. But there was a situation where Beck, Bill Beck was going to buy the Baltimore Orioles, and the deal fell through. And when that fell through, there was no job for what is that great show here in New York City? Sunday Morning Classic. Hal Jackson. Everybody, anybody knew Hal Jackson. And we're coming back here. Talk some more. It's an hour, maybe a little bit or so of remembering Dr. King. One of his other famous quotes was, "Forgiveness is not a casual act, but a permanent state of mind." Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., first, the youngest man ever to win, the Nobel Peace Prize, the first African American to win the Nobel Peace Prize with Ralph Bunche. February, African American History Month. We'll be talking more of that in the ensuing time as we look at the month of January. So many birthdays. Yesterday, we saluted the birthday of Anthony Nguyen-Dam, retired ensign, United States Navy. The month kicks off on the 1st of the birthday of the wife of the greatest boxing mind of this generation, Marion B. Boykin, Black Today, Sabrina Brother. You see, Mrs. Boykin, also the sports editor of the Big Red newspaper now, the New York Beacon, Mark Raspberry, and Philly Funches down in the USA. The second, my beloved daughter, the goddaughter of Julius Dodger-Aaron, turquoise named after her godmother. The fourth, Marla Barfield, the wife of Jesse Barfield, one of the greatest defensive right fielders, one of the greatest throwing arms, one of the greatest home run hitters, the only African-American to lead the league in home runs for a foreign team. Kelly Swanson, first lady of media. And in the world of boxing, the 10th, George Foreman, youngest man ever, the oldest man ever won heavyweight champion of the world, Smoking Joe Frazier on the 12th, won the greatest fight in history of boxing, the first man to beat Muhammad Ali, and the first African-American to win the Olympic gold medal in the Olympics on the 15th of Dr. King's birthday. And also that, a little Lily Cha-Cha, just living in our building. I don't know if you remember that little girl. I'm not sure her real name, but she was her birthday was the 15th, along with Bernard Hopkins, the 16th, Roy Jones Jr., and the 17th, Buddy McGirt, and the incomparable, I am the greatest, Muhammad Ali, the 21st, tomorrow, my beloved mother. This is Vivian Pauline Howard Stanley, Sr. Is it not Howard Stanley? And the 24th is Daniel, baby. It's the 25th, my grandson, Tariq. The 31st, the 30th, my man, Glenn Martin, Jack Roosevelt Robinson. Dusty, memories, reflections. Where were you when they shot Dr. King?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that I was on duty that day, and we got a news flash about, how do they always put it, an assassination attempt over the flash, you know, and I said, Jesus Christ, man, who is this guy? It's crazy. And everybody was like, wow. You know, and you know, being on duty, I guess maybe it kept you hoping that it was an attempt, that it wasn't real, you know. And then when all the flashbacks, where they gathered all the information and this, that, and the other, and it was tantamount to the same thing when
Kennedy
was shot. You know, he used assassination attempt, this, that, and the other. They try to keep it in the bud, nip it in the bud, rather, not keep it in the bud, nip it in the bud, like knowing that those right up front knew the inevitable.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing you say that too, Dusty. It's not amazing. You know, your sense of history is uncanny, and also, it's amazing how you say that, because you look back, you get these books 4 or 5 years later, and they tell you what really happened. I remember Jerry Eisenberg used to say, you know, you just really wish they would tell American history or history, you know, the way it happened, without the fabrication, without the shortcuts.
Well,
I
think there's a footnote there to try to ally the eventual fears by hoping what transpired is not true, even though they know that 90% of it is true. There's hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, here the man's Kennedy's skull was blown off. I mean, you know, they took him to emergency. They put him in the gurney. They're working on him. They know, you know, and there's, you know, what is it, the Hippocratic Oath. You work and work and find a cure and save the life until you reach that pinnacle where you say, not pinnacle, well, that level where you say, it's hopeless. The man's gone, you know. They're probably working on him even though they knew that he was gone. They was looking for the hope that...
Well, what you're doing, Dusty, is that classic line. You're going through the motions.
Yeah, you know, it's not even going to the motions. No, I disagree. It's not going to the motions. It's the hope that you can bring the person back, even though you know that it's almost futile. You know, you try to be that miracle worker that breathes life into that body that's been destroyed. The same thing with Martin Luther King. You know, yeah, that bullet did the damage, and you work. Well, you take, I mean, this is a left field example, but you take, when Camacho was shot, you know, you know that he was finished. Why? Because of the trajectory of the bullet, that one bullet, left jaw to the carotid artery. Man, you rupture the carotid artery, man, you better sew that up. You better put a clamp on it, because that's where the blood is. Went right through to the carotid artery to the two vertebrae, and then lodged on his underneath his left shoulder skin, but the bleeding already made him a vegetable. And if he survived, he would have been a vegetable, you know. So, but the doctor says he is now brain dead. He didn't officially want it to commit and say he's finished. Okay, what I'm saying? So this is what I'm saying, that when the Kennedys and the Kings went through all of this, they are working and working and working and finding, looking for that level of opportunity to say, boom, he's back, we can salvage him, and we can bring him back to life. I'll give you another example, the Russian heavyweight. I mean, the man is still in a coma, but they worked so much on him, so hard, and I don't know if it's just the person's physical strength, that he's still alive, thank God. And he's now in Helen Hayes rehab in Haverstraw, New York. But he's still in a coma. But they found that there is a possibility of him being revived and what would you call, go back to normalcy. I don't know what that is in his case. So, but in these assassinations, we knew that 95% of the man was gone, but they worked. And this is why the news tab had to say, an attempt, he's critical. We're working on until officially the people, the medical professionals had to say, he's gone. And this is basically what it is, you know. So this is why what all that is done, I can understand. I can rationale, I guess maybe being on the tangent with the media, I can understand what they mean by, well, there was an attempt, and he's critical, and we took him to the hospital, until officially they say, well, no, he's dead. Now we can really let the world know that officially he's gone. And that's basically, I mean, how I see it. So I have no problem with that. But because there's the whole, I mean, you know, this is the head of our country. This is the head, you know, and this is the leader of our country. You know, so it demoralizes the rest of the world in a sense. So you got to give him hope until, you know, officially. They guys said, well, we tried, we did, and then to allay any fears that they didn't try enough to save him. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, every effort was made to bring this man back to life. But as soon as he got into the emergency in that gurney, they knew he got finished. But we got to work on him. We got to work on him. We got to work, pull out all the plugs, and do everything we can, and to make sure that when we say no, we know exactly that we've tried everything. Okay, and that's basically what it is. And it is so unfortunate that, yes, but that's the way, and I have no problem with that, saying, well, there's an attempt. We are attempting. He's still, we don't have an official word. Yeah, Walter Cronkite, who was the leading correspondent. We have this message and that. How many times he got on the air? Maybe 15, 20 times, giving us a progress report of what was going on until finally he had to come up and make the announcement that he was officially dead. The same thing with Martin Luther King, you know. And, you know, it's a sad thing, but I could understand what the media does.
As our good buddy Harold Wesson would say, sad and touching. And you were on duty when it came to him. And Doc Stanley, he wasn't at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God. Remembering the King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and I remember precisely also as I was then in the United States Air Force in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And it was an April day, and I came to the lunchroom into the chow hall. He said, hey, man, they just shot King. Yeah, Dr. King. Of course, we were all wired to the radios. And the weekend, we had a special mass for him. I remember not the mass. Whatever broke the paper, I mean, the advertising section in New York City is far superior to what they put out for their editorial. And one of the things I remember was when the guys talked about North Dakota came to him and said, you know, are you people really right? They say in the magazine. And I think 39 years old, Nobel Peace Prize winner, a lot of things. A great line. Anywhere else I'd like to live, living habits, it doesn't matter anymore. I've been to the mountain. Not the longevity of one's life, the quality of one's life. We hear for this hour or so, me and Dusty. Hope that you've tuned in. And we told you more than just scores, but we told you about the real-life heroes, Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, who was a close friend of King's, and as well as Roberto Walker Clemente. And remember the birthdays of other people born in this month, and the birthday of Jack Roosevelt Robinson ends this month. But we leave you with some thoughts of Dr. King, and they just say so much about the man. Forgiveness is not an occasional act, the permanent state of life, mind. And a man, life isn't really worth living. Underline he put that, life, until you found something to die for, life isn't really worth living. And life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? It's a holiday. He's the only minority that's ever had this happen to. It's a long time in coming. There were some states, you know, Dusty, for a long time that kind of didn't come along. Arizona was one of them, Dusty.
Who's that, the world?
Arizona. Remember, for a long time, Arizona was one of the states that wouldn't recognize King Day, as we had,
oh,
you know, two or three
you know,
who we loved.
That's still a hotbed there with the governor and that sheriff up high. I mean, that's the new Mississippi, man. I mean, you know. I mean, those people out there, they try to do everything the opposite way. You know, I just don't understand how this guy cannot be removed. What power that he has, this sheriff who keeps, deporting and arresting it and home invasion and with impunity. I just don't understand that. But it was one of the states that just won't, you know, accept.
Wouldn't conform.
You know, so,
wouldn't conform.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just don't understand it, but that's something that's mind-boggling, but you just cannot find an answer as to why this is not corrected there. It's an unfortunate thing, man. You know,
closing thoughts and reflections on Dr. King and King Day, Dusty, from your perspective.
Well, you know, the closing thoughts and I know we got to say a little bit adieu, but the closing thought is that the man is the man. Mandela's the man. Medgar Evers is the man. I mean, you name pioneers who took the bullets for you, who forged the head. Emmett Till, you know, I'm talking about these guys. You know,
mm-hmm.
and guys who took the bullet for you, when you didn't know when or what to do, they move forward into this stumbling block. They not only utilize the Trojan horse mystique, but they move forward and they walk through with the Trojan horse to make these changes, and they pay the price. They pay the price. One of the good givings or the good rewards that people don't see is that Mandela died of old age. You know, and was it 95, 90? You know. 92. He wasn't stopped, murdered at the Kennedys or the Kings or the Stephen Biko, the Megan Evers. And then he came back out of that prison and changed everything and became the president. So, you know, you look at those successes and you nurture them and you taste them and you enjoy them because they made the change. However, they stopped, they made a change. But they didn't stop because they left us with a legacy. They left us with the blueprint. They left us with the path of humanity's righteousness to go forward. So we can't say, well, we don't know what to do, because you do know. They gave us the blueprint, man. It's about time you started reading it. And that's what I'm saying, you know. And that led to Barack Hussein Obama. Okay? And that's what I'm trying, what people should understand. Barack Hussein Obama was the classic exhibit A in any courtroom of law of what these men did, whether it was South Africa, whether it was the United States, whether it was in Mississippi, whether it was here, there, or the ball field, or in the football field, and whatever, or the middle of Harlem, or the middle of Spanish Harlem. This is what these dudes did to make Barack Hussein Obama. And this is what how people should look at the successes of the struggles of these people. You know, sure, they still have the anti, they're still the hardcore in the corners and the caves under the rocks who still will do, and even the political enemies, the tea parties, who will turn around and create havoc. But hey, hey, he's been there. He got there. He opened that door in the White House. And he lives in the White House. And not only does he live in the White House, he got his second term like everybody else. And that's the war that we won that people don't seem to understand. And that leaves the door open for us to say, hey, I remember in grade school, you assembly and give out certificates for attendance and scholarships and all that. And the Caucasian teacher will say, oh, you know, John Jones, the colored kid, John Jones, you know, maybe one day you could be president of the United States. But that was all violins. That's to make you look good.
Yeah, make you look good.
But now, when the teacher tells John Jones, you know, maybe you could become president of the United States, it's a reality because we got one there already.
Mm-hmm.
You see? It's a reality. So it's not just fantasy now to make you feel good or make you, a Caucasian, aggrandize yourself with the colored community. It's there. And to win a second election by a tsunami of a landslide vote against his opponent goes to show you that times have changed. Goes to show you that Martin Luther King and Mandela are saying, look what we did. Look what we started, man. Ooh, that's the result. And this is what I see and feel about what these men did. And when they set up a monument or a national birthday of Mandela equal to Martin Luther King, it's to thank them for what they did. It's to thank them and remind people, look what these guys did. This wasn't Joe Blow. He came out of nowhere. And now we're going to have a weekend of they're celebrating his birthday. He earned that right, just like the Washingtons and the Lincolns and whoever else. Okay? He earned that day to be recognized. But so that's basically what it is. You know, that's my closing theme, my closing thought of this great man. You know, and it's reading about him so much and seeing what he's done and achieved. That's basically what this is all about. So, anyway. So, Mr. Doc.
Hey, it couldn't be said better.
With these thoughts, I rest my case. With these thoughts.
Hey, case where there can be no rebuttal. It's right on the money. Dr. King, great lines. Oh, the great things he did, and you look at it in such a short span of time, 39 years old, 15 years old in college, went to seminary school, PhD from Boston College, won the Nobel Peace Prize, youngest man ever to win the Nobel Peace Prize. But you said, you know, Dusty, you said earlier, you know, you can kill the man, but you couldn't kill the movement. And then you see that he can't
kill the movement.
Can't
kill the dream because it's already embedded, and it's going to continue.
Well, another thing you said that too was so on the money was you look and Mandela had the opportunity to live on and see the frustration of a lot of things that he did. You know what I mean? And that was the blessing in itself, that he was able to be there and see, you know, the frustration and see the things that happened. And
absolutely.
King didn't, but King had said, you know, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. So that was it right there, you know.
Exactly.
That was it right there. Exactly. Tremendous. Doc Stanley, Sports and Blog Talk Radio. Trust in God Radio Network. Me and Dusty, I'll get ready to mosey on out here. It's been a dedication and memory to and make sure. Hold on, Dusty. It should be all right here. It's still on Blog.
Yeah. So, okay, Mr. Doc.
And with that, I guess we'll get ready to close it on out. Let me get back to our board. I want to close out with, I've got to find our board and get back and do our
handicapping and researching.
I would always like to close out with our great song by other than Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
And that's that great song of his, Save the Children.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to get back to our board here. And at the same time, who's your pick of the Super Bowl, Dust? Who do you like the Super Bowl?
Well, I like I told you, it's a pick-up. I mean, I got 2 weeks to look at the standards, you know. Oh, look, right off the bat, they say, hey, it's going to make history. This is going. I think somebody, Mike and Mike, say this is the first time that a quarterback is going to go to the soup and win the soup with two different teams. You know, so right away, all the sway and the momentum is on Manning. You know,
mm-hmm.
But you never know when you get to that day if this 2 year sophomore is going to rally his little ragamuffin team, who was 16-1 in Seattle, and say, we're not just here to celebrate, because you know how Super Bowls are. A lot of teams get there, oh man, we made it to the Super Bowl, but they don't realize the seriousness that you just don't get to the Super Bowl and enjoy the hoopla before and all that, and get beat up and slapped and destroyed. You out there to win.
A lot of people are just happy to be there.
Yeah, oh man, Mom, look, I made the Super Bowl. That doesn't mean anything. You got to win that sucker, man. So that's what I'm saying, that it's a pick 'em to me. It's an even fight. I could equate it, because I'm always thinking boxing. You equate it, if they ever do fight Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, it's going to be a pick 'em fight, even though, like I told you many times, that my money so far is on Floyd, because Floyd has the style to beat anybody. But then again, you never know what Pacquiao is going to do. Okay? Pacquiao even now is saying, Floyd, I'll fight you for free just to get this fight over with. Woo! Something is there somewhere, you know. But the fact of the matter is that I would say it's a pick 'em, even though I see where the wear and tear on Pacquiao and the non-wear and tear on Mayweather, but then it's a mind game. See?
Mm-hmm.
But so this is what I'm saying, that the Seahawks and the Broncos, and remember, the Broncos were nothing until John Elway took them back-to-back. And this is the first time they're back in the soup since Broncos, almost 20 years ago. You know, so what I'm saying to you is that It took a rallying quarterback and some draft choices for Peyton Manning to get here. And last year they got embarrassed by the Ravens. So we don't know. Seattle is almost like the floor mat of the NFL, but now all of a sudden they got these bunch of upstarts who are feeling their oats, and later for Peyton Manning, and later for the history, we're gonna make it. So we don't know. So yeah, I got 2 weeks to pick them and handicap and put X's and O's and cross my T's and dot my I before I say, I think so and so has a chance. I do like, yes, if I'm gonna say something, I do like the upstartness, the freshness, the brashness of the Seattle Seahawks. I do like, but is that enough to win? Oh, no. You got to deal with a mind, X's and O's, a mentality, a ring general like Peyton Manning. So that's the difference, too.
Dusty, it's $50. Who you betting the fight on?
Oh, which fight you talking about? Which fight?
Always on the case.
Yeah.
Always on the case, Dusty. You know, tremendous thing, you know, here and there, you know. In some cases, you know, there is no loser, but You're good to see both guys get there. The big thing about this thing is it's the first time and only the second time in history, first time in a long time, second time ever that you've had both number one, the Chiefs get there. You got the number one offensive football team in Denver against the number one defensive team. You've got the up-and-coming style of quarterback of Russell Wilson, who is the model and represents both himself, Cam Newton, and Kaepernick. And you've got Peyton Manning, who represents the Manning family, the up-and-coming Andrew Locke, Brady. Belichick is now 5-3 in the championship games, and I think a lot has to be said about the great year that he had as a coach, that he kept losing players and just did a tremendous job. And with that, Marvin Gaye is going to lead us out of here. Doc Stanley, Sportsnet Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We dedicated this show to the memory of the man, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I think the story has been told. It's renowned, redundancy, in a positive manner. Youngest man ever to win the Nobel Peace Prize. 50 years old, was in the college, assassinated. But a man, he said that, no, when you talk about me, don't talk about my PhD. Don't talk about my Nobel Peace Prize. Don't talk about the many awards I've won. Tell them, just say, I was a drum major for Pete. You know what, Marvin? You would like very much what you're going to say about me.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
Okay.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
Such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live.
Let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, you got to save the babies. Oh, the blood feels. You got to feel it. You will.
turn of the week here. Appreciate you being with us today as we remember the King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Vice Coretta King, Doc Stanley, supporting the blog talk radio and the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Your host, along with my co-host, Dusty Destino, W. Dre Brown III Jr., and
good night, sweet prince.
Okay, and you know, great line there. And with that, we'll be back. And now with you regularly on Sundays at 11 o'clock, Dusty, myself, Cincinnati Sea Wings, Lady A, Hoopster, good well wishes to Melville Softman Jr., recuperating for triple heart surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Good well wishes to the First Lady, Lady A, that is Audrey Chambers, the wife of the Yankee great, Chris Chambers. And we say tomorrow, as we close this out, and not only for Dr. King, it's for tomorrow. And my mother, Mrs. Vivian Pauline Howard Stanton, reached her birthday from 84. Five. To God, we thank you so much for my mother and all the blessings you bestowed upon us through her and on her. Doc Stanley, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Custom Guardian Network. And we say happy birthday. We remember the birthday of Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Buddy McGirt, the late Joe Frazier, Bernard Hopkins, Cha-Cha. Kelly Swanson, Jackie Robinson's birthday coming up, Anthony Nordam, Lady Boykin, and Marla Barfield, Munchie Funch, Mark Raspberry, Jackie Robinson ends the month, middle of the month, and Bernard Hopkins tomorrow, my beloved mother, Mommy, Dr. King, happy birthday, Doc Stanley, Boston Dev, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trusting Guardian Network, thanks for the bottom of my heart, and if you want to close it out, God bless you all. Dusty, talk to you later, baby. Thanks a lot.
Take care. God bless.
Boxing God. Your network.